Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Oh my goodness, we were shaking the Monday morning blues together as we spoke to the Due Time crew, and we talked about your ex. Yes, yes, yes. Things that we shouldn't do once our ex has moved on. Yeah, now, first of all, for some of us, talking to your ex may be a big problem. Yes, we're trying to move on, right? We're trying to move on. So, you know, sometimes talking to your ex may be a setback. Yeah, and unfortunately, a lot of us have not picked up on that. And we're talking to these people, and before we know it, we all twisted and we are messed up. And oh my goodness, you wish you hadn't had that conversation, right? Well, we talked about don't second guess yourself. Yeah, once you've made your mind up to be away from this individual. Now, they may have left you. You may have left them. It doesn't matter. Don't second guess yourself. 99% of the time, there's a reason why. You're not with this individual anymore. Yes. So let's make sure that we are keeping our heads and don't second guess what you've done. The decision you made is the decision you made. And hey, what are you going to do about it? Okay. Oh, this was a big one yesterday. This was a big one. We talked about avoiding being vengeful. Yeah, I said it right. Yes. Don't go taking no revenge. Listen. The last thing you want to do is take revenge on a person that God has separated you from. Oh, man. Yeah, can you imagine that? Just think about it like that. God has separated you from this person, and then before you know it, you done turned that whole thing around, getting all emotional, because you can't separate from the individual. See, just because they left us does not necessarily mean that God has not been a part of this process. Yes. Come on, I'm sure you could think about, you could think of somebody in your life who, after you were away from them, even if they left you, you were real happy that they were not a part of your life any longer. Yes. Yes. And like I said, even if it's a person who, you know, who left you, you like, you know what? Thank you for doing me that favor. How about a person who's cheated on you? Yeah. Yeah, they left you. Yeah, they could have also been God. We don't know. We can't say that that's not, you know, the case here. You have to be grateful that God has moved, even if it was in his allowance. Yeah, you know, we're not savvy enough to be able to say when God has moved at times. You know, sometimes we know, and there are other times we don't know. We don't know whether it's just simply God's allowance, his permissive will. Yeah. And, you know, you want to make sure you don't step in the way of God. Okay? So, those are just a few of the things we talked about yesterday when it came to your ex. And here's what I liked. Yesterday, there was a question. Yes. God had me pose a question. Yes, the Spirit of the Lord had me pose a question. What, you know, what has happened with an ex in your life to the Due Time Crew? And it was a very interesting response. You know, they were very candid, and they didn't look pretty. But you know what? You could see how God moved. And that was like the biggest thing that God wanted to show. You know, God needs to show his deliverance through us. You know, we can't be all mealy-mouthed and, you know, we don't want to talk and we're embarrassed. Listen, we overcome by our testimony. So we got to make sure we do this thing the right way. Okay? We have to tell people what we've done and what's happened. I mean, you can pick and choose what you want to tell somebody, you know, or how detailed it gets. How about that one? Yeah, but you know, we weren't asking for a whole lot of detail yesterday. Just a small amount of information to show how God has delivered us from anger or resentment or jealousy. Yeah, this stuff is really, 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 really good for other people to hear, God's people. You know, the point I brought up yesterday was how many times you as a Christian individual, you know, people have said, oh, you don't understand. Oh, yeah. I'm like, okay, so I just woke up and I haven't been through a thing. No, I ain't been that blessed, my dear. No, I didn't have to eat some stuff. Whether it was something that I did and I had to eat the fruit of my labor, or if it was just life and just eating life. Yeah, life, listen, life has a way of smacking you in the face whether you really want it to or not. Yeah, yeah, you can't run from life. That ain't happening. That is not happening. So, you know, that's what we talked about yesterday. And I want you to go back and I want you to listen, because it was a really, really good conversation. Okay? Well, we couldn't end a Monday morning without our switch tip. And I have to tell you, it was pretty powerful yesterday. Now, I heard the switch tips are always good. Shantice always gives us good switch tips. But yesterday, I happened to like that one. And I think because it works so well with our topic of conversation, Yeah. Protect your progress. And in my closing, I actually was able to break down each and every one of those points in protecting your progress. Yes. You know, if you've been able to, number one, let me tell you something. Let's talk about this today. One of the hardest things to do is to move on. Yeah? Move on from a relationship. And some of them relationships could be bad as I don't know what. But we, oh my goodness, you just can't pry away from that. And when we finally get to the point where we can separate on a healthy basis, then we jack it all up by going back. What is that? How do we do that? Yeah, we didn't all did that. We've all, you know, done something and made some progress. And then when we look around, we didn't take in step. We've taken five steps backwards. Five steps backwards. Yes. And, you know, you have to really pay attention to the progress that God has allowed you to make. Yeah, you know, we are our worst, and we are our own worst enemies at times. Yeah, outside people couldn't do us the amount of harm that we do ourselves. Yes. So yesterday, you want to make sure you go back and listen, because that switch tip was, that was good. That was a good one. That was a good one. All right. Well, today is Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. Yep. And you got to get those pens out. I came across something that I thought was kind of interesting. And you may find interesting. You may. If you don't, I'm sorry. But I found it kind of interesting. And I really think that a lot of people have jumped on board to this item, and you need to know whether it's really good for you or not, or if it's good and what the good components are, okay? So make sure you get that pen and pad so we can make a list. You know, we're trying to do more of that so we can take care of ourselves better than we have been. And we don't want to wait to get the doctor's bill, do we? Nah, I don't think so. I know I don't, because I have to pay a portion of every bill that I get. So the fewer bills, the better. And once I scratch off that last little bill that I have, yay, I sure don't want to go back. No, remember, protect your progress. Once you've gotten these things out of the way, you now have to protect. You can't go back. So especially for those of you who have high blood pressure or who have had maybe diabetes, yes, you can get rid of these things. Mm-hmm. I mean, only certain circumstances prevent you from doing that. But for the most part, yeah, you can really get rid of those things. Yep. So let's make sure we do that, okay? All righty. So, I don't know what else we're going to come back and talk about. I think I just looked past something, and I want to talk about it today. And we'll see how well you talk about it. Some of us know about it, and some of us don't. All righty. So let's get that healthy breakfast. Come on, let's go down that list. Sardines, oatmeal, what else? Ah, come on. You got to get that green tea in your system. You got to get your pomegranate juice. Come on. I got a new one, too. I have a new go-to. It may not be the best, but I like it, and it beats candy. Okay? All right, so we'll be right back. Just make sure you hang on to your seat. And while you're getting yourself together to come back, please make sure you tell a friend. All right?
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital. I feel like a fish with no water.
You know how to react to their asthma attacks. Here's how to prevent them. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
Good morning and good morning to you. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph, and it's Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. Yes, and we got some things that we want to talk about today, and I'm so happy to have you with me. Have I said that to you today yet? I'm always so happy to have you with me. I could not do it without you. Yes. Okay, so come on, get them pens up. Let's go. All right? Okay, now, seems to be the new craze this, you know, on these days. And people have been asking me, especially because I drink the smoothies all the time, whether I use this in my smoothie. Well, coconut water. Yes. You're seeing all those different brands of coconut water. And I was wondering, is it healthy? You know, it's the thing that everybody's doing. So I came across the article. I was like, you know what? Since I have so many people asking me, you know, what do you put in your smoothies? Well, again, I put in my smoothie my staples. Here are my staples. My staples. I do not have a smoothie without spinach. If I run out of spinach, my go-to are beets. Yes, that's the base of my smoothies, okay? No matter what. All right? You always, I always use bananas for the potassium, and it gives the smoothie like this smooth texture for me. The texture that I like, the banana helps it out. And what I do is I freeze my bananas. Somebody asked me the other day, do I put ice in my smoothie? No, because I freeze my bananas. Okay, my other staple, pineapples. So I will not have, especially if I'm using beets, bananas and pineapples. So it's either spinach, bananas, and pineapples, or beets, pineapples, and bananas. Okay? And now that every time we read a list, we can't seem to get away from berries, that is my next staple. It wasn't always my staple because the sugar in the bananas and the we've got pineapples are really good, and it helps to give me that sugar. And I won't most times if I drink my smoothie twice a day, I will not drink anything else that's sweet. Yeah, I'm not really a big sweet person, so that's not a big issue for me. But and that'll kill my crave for sugar. If you use the berries, it kills that sugar. Yeah, berries are very bitter. Yeah, so I don't need ice because I always freeze my bananas and I always keep my berries frozen. So by that time, it's always that chilled effect. And, I mean, it's only chilled at that time. Once you put it in the refrigerator, you know, it chills that part of it. But it's very good. It's still very good. So people ask me all the time, do you use coconut water? I have. And Nah, no big deal. My go-to, green tea. So when we came across that green tea article, that was like essential for me because I had no idea that I was packing so much into my smoothie. So since people have been asking me about this coconut water and I happened to stumble across it, we're going to do that this morning. Okay? All right. So get your pens out. What are the benefits, the health benefits of coconut water? Well, they say that coconut water may aid with post-workout recovery. In other words, it gives you those electrolytes that Gatorade does. So for those of you who your go-to when you're working out is Gatorade, it's, what do you call it? Coconut water is does the same job, if not better. They say it includes potassium, sodium, and magnesium, and we know we need to have those in our system. It is great for refuel, along with a mild level of carbohydrates and protein after your workout, okay? All right, so instead of getting that Gatorade, get that coconut water, all right? All right. Number two, it says it may help reduce blood pressure and stroke risk. Oh, haven't we been talking about that? Look at that. Yeah, they say bananas are notorious for their high potassium count, but just one cup of coconut water, it contains more potassium than a medium-sized banana. Now, what does that say for me and my smoothies now? Okay, they say that potassium-rich diets help prevent stroke and reduces your blood pressure. Okay. I like that one. Remember now, I don't look at the list past like the first two, and I didn't do that at all. I pulled up several lists, so I didn't see this one at all, but I like this, the way this one laid out. Easier to read. Okay, that was number two. Number three, it may support good digestion. Oh, we were talking about that. We've been talking about that for the past couple of weeks. Coconut water contains magnesium, and it helps keep our insides moving, and it prevents constipation. Okay. I think we need to get some of this mineral. Listen, what we got? One, two, three already. I need to go get some coconut water. Yeah. All right. Number four, it says it may help if you're sick now. Let's see what kind of sick they're talking about. They say if you're feeling like a little under the weather, if you're vomiting or have diarrhea, the coconut water will help with the hydration. And again, it balances those electrolytes. It says better than regular water at this point. So it's only talking about the fact of, you know, emitting fluids from your body because you're ill. And water definitely will hydrate you. However, coconut water will actually add electrolytes, which water does not do. So in this case, regular water is secondary to just some regular old coconut water. All right. For those of you who have that acne and skin problem, it says coconut water may promote healthy skin. Yes. And they say lack of proper hydration. Yes, for those of you who don't like to drink water, or for people such as myself who have dry skin, they say if we drink coconut water, it can contribute to our daily hydration. And remember now, it has those electrolytes. And it will definitely promote circulation and radiant skin. It has tons of vitamin C and antioxidants, and definitely helps our skin to be firm and youthful looking. Oh, you know, our people from this side of the tracks, we have a lot of youthful looking people on our side. All right. Well, I just slid into this one. The next one, They say it's a great alternative to sugary drinks. Okay, they say just get rid of the sugary drinks and the sodas and grab some coconut water. Okay, and they say unlike sugar-sweetened beverages, coconut water has little to no added sugar. And it makes a great choice for diabetics or people who are looking to just reduce their sugar in their diet, okay? Okay, everybody, raise your hand, because this one, I'm definitely going to get me some coconut water. It may help you lose weight. Ah! Okay, let's see what it says. Okay, well, if you replace this, A, with the sugary drinks, well, you know what I'm saying. I said it backwards. If you replace the sugary drinks with this, this will definitely help. And they say drink this also, replacing one of your daily waters. Now it helps you to feel full opposed to regular water, and it'll help you cut back on, you know, how much you eat. Okay? Okay. Wow. Well, I would have to share with you, because this article is giving some of the opposite sides. And they say, well, the disadvantages of coconut water. Okay. So let's see what it says. They say if you have renal failure, you want to be careful of how much coconut water you drink because of the high potassium. Yes. Remember, and we want to don't forget, we want to balance that potassium in our system, because when your potassium is high, what does it do? It affects your heart. Yes. Yes. I have definitely been hospitalized, and they check your potassium, and when it's too high, yeah, they got to give you something in your IV line. And, man, it is thick, and it hurts, at least for me, because, you know, when you have fibromyalgia, you know, or your nuts and joints, your muscles and your joints and things like that hurt, and when they're pushing thick liquids through, it is painful. So, you know, you don't want to overdo it on your potassium. So that means that if I do coconut water, I'm going to cut back on one of those bananas and in my smoothie. Yes. So they say it really doesn't have many disadvantages, but that is definitely one that you want to watch out for. Okay, and they say try to stick to natural coconut water. Don't get the coconut water that has additional sugar in it, because that's one of the benefits. So you don't want to replace it with, you don't want to replace your drinks with something that's going to make you ill. All right, so let me go over that for those of you who may need that rundown again. First of all, it contains calcium and magnesium and sodium and potassium, okay? So it's automatically going to give you those components. And the health benefits may aid with post-workout recovery, so that can replace your Gatorade if you drink. It may reduce blood pressure and stroke risk. It may support good digestion. It may help if you're sick and you're, you know, vomiting or diarrhea. You want to, you know, get rehydrated, and you want to grab some coconut water instead of the regular water, because it has some other components in it that water does not have. It promotes healthy skin. It's a great alternative to sugary drinks. May help you lose weight. And there you have it. All right. So, like I said, I've used it in my smoothie. And because I put so much other stuff in there, I can never taste the liquid part of it, because that just becomes you know, a part of the drink. I can't tell the difference. All righty. Well, let's talk about it Tuesday. I'm looking at something, and I saw an article, and it reminded me of a conversation that Shantice brought up the other day, and I want to talk to you about it today because I want to know if other people have been affected. Okay, so I'm looking at an article where you can pull up a couple of trailers, and for some reason, this is horror movie time. And they have Halloween Kills that's coming out, and they have Candyman again. And the other day, Shantice was talking about, you know, the music that you hear, the scary music you hear. And I remember when I was her age and younger, I used to love scary movies. Oh, my goodness. And nothing would bother me. Nothing at all. But I have to tell you, the more I got closer to God, don't be pulling out. They know. Oh, we used to go on the retreats and all, you know, they were kids. And all of them wanted to look at those scary movies, and me and Kenny be sitting back, and I'm like, okay, you can go over there with them, because y'all make sure y'all play that after I go to sleep, and I don't want to hear the music part. And, yeah, it seemed like my spirit was it really, really did something to me. And I'm telling you, I could feel it from the inside. And it wasn't like just scary, because I'm not scared. That wasn't it. But it was, you know, it tells us in the Bible that, you know, a house can't be divided. We can't have both spirits living up in us. And I'm telling you something. It was like my spirit, or the spirit of the Lord, was warring against this horror thing. Yeah. Have you noticed that? For those of you who now serve the Lord, or, you know, you're getting closer to the Lord, come on, give me a holler. 347-285-7777. Yeah. That, and it's been like that for a minute. And I noticed it was since my relationship was closer. I mean, but you notice, like, you could have done a lot of things before, and it didn't bother you, and now it bothers you. So I'm just talking about the thriller thing, the horror thing. So Shantice was talking the other day about, you know, if she heard the music, I was like, nah, we're not doing that. And I remember, you know, I have two stories in my home, and I remember I could look out my door and, you know, see who comes to the top of the steps. Man, don't you play that music. Y'all turn that down. Put some headphones in. I don't care what you do. Do not play that while I'm listening. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No, we not doing that. Yeah, it was just like, I'm telling you. Man, I've never felt anything like it before. I've never. So come on, I need y'all to holler back at me. 347-285-7777, and let me know, you know, if you've experienced that. Okay? Yeah. I need you to let me know. What happens if you attempt to look at a horror movie now? Does it bother you? It's been bothering me for about, hold on, 54, 55, about 8-9 years now. Yeah, I don't play that. No, thank you. Y'all can have that. So tell me, let me know if this is, you know, something that you experience, okay? Or, like I said, if it's something different, if you're experiencing something different, okay? All righty. And I'm talking about that Jason, that Freddy Krueger, that Michael Myers, and definitely that Candyman. Yo, do not be talking about you're going to stand up in some mirror and you're talking about Candyman. Candyman, yeah, you know how it goes. You have to say it 5 times in the mirror. Yeah. Uh-uh. I'm not saying Stephanie 5 times in a row. No, thank you. Uh-uh. No. All right? So y'all hit me up. Y'all hit me up. And if there's another movie that, you know, takes you there, let me know. Okay? So, Chatice is waiting for you to hit her up. And it might be one that I haven't heard of. Might be a new one. Might be a new, you know, Generation X. Oh, no, that's Generation Z movie. Okay, like I said, I'm going to be honest. I just happened to look down and I looked over and my whole heart just trembled. Just looking at the pictures. Yeah, and it's the back of Candyman. It ain't even his face. It's his back. Yes. And the other one is a picture of Michael Myers. Nah, that's all right. Mm-mm. They can have that. They will not make any more money off of Stephanie Griffin. That ain't happening. Okay? All right. So thank you for letting me share that. All right. So I wanted to share an interesting article that I came across. And I wanted to bring it up because we talk about this quite often here on It's Due Time. And we talk about praying and our children, teaching our children to pray to protect themselves and, you know, just to connect with God in their own way. And, you know, this big Miami condo collapse is all you're reading in the newspaper and in the news, rather, and you're hearing on the news. And the mayor said he happened to be walking by part of the collapse, and he saw a little girl there, and she was just sitting there. And he said that when he approached her, she said she was reading a prayer. You know, her parents were missing, and she thought that they might be in that area somehow or some way. And she was reading a Jewish prayer to herself. And this is what, you know, we talk about. We talk about the fact that we need to arm our children with prayer, teaching them how to pray, not just praying for them, not just praying with them, but teaching them and helping them to know that they have to pray themselves. Yeah. You know, and how it helps them to feel better and to strengthen and bolster them. And I remember when my kids were going to school, especially to Major, because she was the one that I really was raising, you know, once I had given my life to the Lord. But I used to say to her, make sure you pray before you take your tests. Make sure you pray before you go to school. And we would pray before she left, you know, about her tests. And that God would help her with her test. And I would say to her, make sure you pray before you take your test. Don't take your test without God. You need him. You know, make sure you pray before you leave the house so that you're guarded and protected, you know, on your way to school. All of these things matter. And here you have this little girl who don't have her parents now. She's missing her parents. In this collapse, and lo and behold, what does she do? She's not running around crying. She's not running around panicking. She's not trying to get to a phone to call, you know, family or friends. She's not looking around, you know, on this search. She's quietly sitting, reading a prayer to herself. And I just said, you know what, God? Thank you. You know, he says that she wasn't even crying. Okay? Here's what it says. He says she wasn't crying. She was just lost. She didn't know what to do, what to say, who to talk to. Excuse me. I beg to differ. She did know who to talk to. Oh. Doesn't it sound like this is someone who knew who to talk to? This is why I constantly talk about that on this broadcast. Here's a monumental time. The greatest disaster this girl could possibly ever experience in her life. Whole part of this building then came down. And the body count is going up and up and up. How many people are no longer, they can't even find these people. They don't know where they are. If they're in this rubble, it's pretty much like the World Trade Center. You don't know if people were really home or not. You know, some people they knew were home because they were on the phone with them. And some people, they have no idea. So here she is. She doesn't have a parent. And who does she opt to talk to? So when the mayor says she didn't have nobody, she didn't know who to talk to, yes, she did. Amen. Amen. So I just want to give God thanks for, you know, whoever taught her how to pray. And this is what we need to do, because we need to make sure we find our children in a prayer stance when they don't know what to do. Okay? And they can opt to talk to a whole lot of people. There was a whole lot of people over there she could have talked to. But she opted to talk to God. So I thought it was a good thing to bring up today. And kind of sends us into our conversation. But I want to make sure that before we get started, we do have a comment from a listener. So let's say good morning to Shantice. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning, Pastor Steph.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm well, thank you. What you got for us?
Okay, so a listener just sent in, I looked at one movie on a DVD, and after I watched it, I threw the movie out the window. That's how gross it was. That's how scared I was. I don't remember the name of the movie, but it was that.
Wow. All right, I'm feeling you, listener. I'm feeling you throwing on out the window. All right. Thank you so much, Shantice. We'll talk
You're
to you
welcome.
Later. All righty.
Okay.
Remember, we're talking about those scary movies, those horror movies. You know, years ago, we could look at them and had no problemo. Now, things might be a little bit different. Oh, we're very happy. I'm going to say good morning to our Pastor Ed. Good morning, Pastor Ed.
Good morning. How are you?
I am excited. I get to hear his voice. Thank you very much. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
That's good. That's good. And how is the youngin?
He is coming along well, and we're praying to God that he's discharged later today.
Amen. So we're going to keep that in prayer that he can get up out. He can bust out that joint. And
yes,
so can
Lord.
You. And Raina.
Yes. Yes,
we're grateful to God that everything is moving along and that there's some advancement. There's some progress. So thank you, God, for that.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
All righty. So, Pastor Ed, let me ask you this. What's your experience with horror movies?
There is no experience because we don't do them at all. Period.
Have
Period.
You ever?
In my younger years, I tried, and the effect, the impact was just crazy. And I decided then I was not, because after viewing them, the crazy dreams, the experiences, I was like, I'm not going to allow any portals, any windows, any opportunities for any unclean spirits or anything that may derive from that to have an opportunity to interact with me. So, no, just don't do them, period.
All righty. Not even as a youngin. Okie dokie now. Interesting. All right, let's ask Pastor Charlene, Pastor Ed. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning. How are you today?
I am well. Thank you. I am well. How are you? You doing well over there?
I'm doing okay. I'm glad to hear Pastor Ed is back. God bless you, sir.
Thank you. Good to hear your voices. Bless
you. All right. Pastor Charlene, we're talking about this horror movie effect on your existence. Did you used to look at horror stories?
I used to watch them, and I would be scared, so I stopped watching them because, you know, I like, what's the one, oh my goodness, and I had it before you changed them to, where that everything grew, is way back, it's a real old, and the worms and stuff came out the tub, and everything was big. Oh man, I had the name of it in my head.
Came out the tub?
I didn't like that. Yeah, it was it's real old. It was in the 70s, and they had it where that everything grew. The rats grew. The chickens was big. Oh, man.
Oh, I remember that movie. Fall for the Gods.
There you go. There
yes.
You go.
Oh, I remember that.
Grew.
Girl, I wasn't even thinking about that movie. Oh, my goodness. Yes, they put the food out and all the animals and rodents and all the lives ate it, and everything became huge and gigantic.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
And I stopped watching because I wouldn't be able to go to sleep. And now, since I came to Christ, you know, a lot of them in my house like to watch them scary. And you're right, it will wake me up at night. You know, and tap you on the shoulder, the lucidity all over, walking, talking, making you dream crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. And all I'm doing all night is praying, and everybody else will be sleeping. Yeah.
Wow.
Trying to get all
that
stuff up out of here, yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I remember that movie. Oh, my goodness. I used to like that one, too. I used to like that one. There was another one. And they used to, they look like little onions. Oh, my goodness. Don't Be Afraid of the Dark. I used to like that movie.
Oh,
I used to love that movie. As a matter of fact, I even went and bought it from Amazon. And the other day, I was, like, in my collection, sorting through my, putting everything in alphabetical order. And I was like, oh, Stephanie, why you got this here? I just hurry up and move by it. I didn't even throw it out. I wouldn't even touch it. I was like, okay, because even then, I was like, oh, you used to watch that? Yeah. And I remember because they used to say, Sally. Yo, the stuff that you used to do is crazy. Oh, let's go talk to Minister AJ.
Steph, you remember the blog? Remember
oh, yes,
blob?
Yes, the blob, yes.
And
when it went into the movie
the
theater.
That they put underneath the bed. Yes, yes, the movie theater. And remember the other one where you used to put up underneath the bed and it become looking like you? Oh, man.
Oh, no. Mm-mm.
It was a plant. Oh,
No. I don't know that one, Pastor Charlene. No. And I ain't going to do no research either. Yeah, he seems to be that thriller type of person, right?
Yes.
I gotta find out from him if he's a chicken or does he look at it. I gotta find out. Oh my goodness. Good morning, Minister AJ.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our fathers in the name of our Lord and Savior Christ. Good morning, Pastor Steph.
Good morning, Minister AJ. All right, so tell me, are you one who looks at those horror movies or no?
Absolutely not. Growing up, if it didn't have Holy Ghost in the title, we couldn't watch it.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right. That's good. Okay, that way you never got a cousin. What about your kids?
No.
Okay.
They don't. Everything with them is sports, love and basketball and stuff like that, and sports.
Okay.
So no horror movies.
All right. Well, good, because they don't need that. They don't need that. Well, thank you, lady and gentleman, for indulging me. I just happened to look down. I was like, I want to talk about that today. So remember, you can still call, text in 347-285-7777 and let us know, you know, if since your walk with God has increased, the viewing of the horror movies has decreased. Okay? Let us know. Well, we're talking about things that Christian people should stop doing. Now, we kind of touched on this before, and I don't remember whether it was on in church folk or whatever, but, yeah, them horror movies, first thing needs to go. And, you know, it's actually been said by Pastor Charlene and Pastor Ed, you know, I remember reading about transference of spirits, and they talk about those movies and how, you know, and we talk about it all the time here, the gateway to your ears, the gateway to your eyes, and how you actually ingest a lot of different things or surround yourself in an atmosphere. And nah, that ain't the way to go. That ain't the way to go. So, well, let's see. Pastor Ed, let's start with, expecting the world to be like you. I remember my grandmother used to always say, why are you so surprised at what Satan's people are going to do? They are Satan's people. They do exactly what they're supposed to do. Why are you mad at them? What say you, Pastor Ed?
Well, you know what? I fully agree with your grandmother, because you've got to understand that if their minds have not been engaged by the Holy Spirit, if they're not part of the body to where they're striving to live a life and model themselves after Christ, they're going to do what, as we say, what their father, what their leader, what their guide is engaging them to do. So, no, I tell people that all the time when they say, I can't believe that, listen, an unsaved individual, ungodly individual is capable, you know, and I know that sounds harsh, but it's capable of doing anything. Because if Satan is guiding or directing you, there's no limit. So, no, I don't. Why should we expect the world to behave like that? That's why we're different. We're sanctified. We're set apart. So why are we going to expect them to behave in a manner that we find acceptable or that's similar to ours? What we need to worry about is to make sure we're not behaving like the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You didn't touch on something there. Pastor Charlene, you know, we need to stop expecting the world to look like us.
Absolutely. And we do as a general, because we think that because they are around us and because they live in our house and, you know, or we think that they should change, but it's a personal thing if they really want to change, you know. And you're absolutely right. We have to get to the place where that we know that that's what they do. That is what they do. And it's taken me, I'm still sometimes, I forget, being honest, I forget that, you know, they not, and my children always tell me, Mom, that's you. You made that choice. You know, everybody didn't make that choice like you. And I'm like, you're right. You know, sometimes I got to, you know, step back and remember, you know, because you want it so much for others. So, but you're right.
Okay.
Step back.
Okay. Minister AJ, you talk about this a lot of times, and you actually just said it in a jokingly manner. But, you know, that's the way you were raised. You were raised to not do the things that, you know, the world does. How essential is that when we're raising children?
It's very essential, because when your kids go out in the world, sometimes they may be treated a certain way based on how they act. And I used to tell my kids that when you go to school, you got to act a certain way. You know, you even got to look a certain way. You got to dress a certain way. Because I remember how the teachers used to, you know, talk to my parents about how we used to come to school dressed and how we looked and how we act. And being in a, you know, a predominantly white district, it mattered, you know, that we didn't look like, you know, some of the other kids who were going crazy or you know, or acting out, you know, and they treated us a certain way because of the way we were trained, of the way we acted when we came to school, and also the way we looked. So it's very important. Absolutely.
Okay. Pastor Charlotte, you know, there's an issue of, you know, there's mercy and grace. And because there's mercy and grace, people lean on that to do the things that they want to do because they got mercy and grace. Got to stop
absolutely.
Doing that.
Yes, absolutely. They think, well, God is going to forgive me. God is an understanding. God knows my, and this one too, God knows my heart. You know, and they really, you know, and I'm like, okay, but you don't know when he coming back. You know, there's no time. You don't know if you still going to be here. You don't know the time, the day, the hour, the moment, the second, because you got to break it down to them sometimes. You know, you got to go all the way to the second and all of that, you know, and you might not have that chance. You know, to ask for forgiveness. So, you know, my God is great. He's merciful. But you better know that stop testing him because that's a test that you're doing towards him. And you better remember you don't want to fall in the hands of an angry God.
Wow. You know, there would be some people who would really fight you on that one. Please hold on to that. Please hold on to that thought because I want to come back to that. Minister AJ, grace and mercy does exist, but it won't always prevail. Stop using that as an excuse to do what you need to do.
Absolutely. And I'm going to take the word time. A lot of times we abuse, well, I got time. And we have time for everything else but God. And let's take social media, you know, stuff like Facebook and Instagram. And I remember before somebody started my pages, I was very much against it because I saw how my peers used it, you know, to hook up with people. Or it was so time consuming. Some of us spend so much time on social media, and what we don't realize is that these people who created these things, they created it to mess with our time. You know, they want our time and they want our attention so that we're away from God and we can't do the things of God. Now, let's take the word time and break it down in an acronym concerning the people who created the social media, right? You're ready for the acronym of time. They intentionally moved eternity, okay? They intentionally moved eternity. So they want all of your time so that their ratings can go up, so that they can make money. And guess what? Only thing that you're doing is moving further away from God and the eternal thing.
Wow. All right. Those of you who take notes, that's a nice acronym for time.
Moved eternity.
Okay, thank you, Minister AJ. You've been hitting them acronyms quite hard over these past few weeks.
I'm working on an acronym school, so I got to get sharper. Working on acronym school.
Wow, well, you've been the master at it. So, Pastor Ed, you know, listen, we just mercy and grace. We didn't just took this thing way out of kilter, and we just do whatever we want to do, falling back on mercy and grace.
Yeah, but there's a problem with that. You know, like Pastor Sharlin said, many people love to proclaim, you know, God knows my heart. And that's where the real problem comes in, because this is no longer just a superficial thing where people get to see how you act. But this is a thing where, you know, they now can, God knows exactly, you know, your mindset when you're doing it. You know, the scripture tells us that if we willfully sin, now first look, we know 1 John 1:9 tells us if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But the scripture also tells us in Hebrews 10:26 that if we willfully sin after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. So it is a hard condition. He knows your heart. If you're using grace as a get-out-of-jail-free card, then there's a problem, because it speaks to your commitment and your sincerity in really striving to live for Christ. Not something where, you know, because of our sin nature, you slipped and you've fallen, but when it's premeditated and you're planning, because I know I got this get-out-of-sin-free card, then there's a problem with your walk.
I like that. You know, we also have to remember there's a Bible verse that says, when we know to do right and we don't, it is to sin. So, you know, I don't know how you think you're going to get out of it, because there's mercy and grace. All of you have made very powerful, powerful statements. And I want to go back a little bit. I want to go back, because now that we're in this Pride Month, you know, that's one of the things that group of people lean on. You know, Pastor Sharlin said, you know, you don't want to fall in the hands of an angry God. And, you know, that's something that, and I want to touch on that for a little bit. You know, that's something that they don't believe. Oh, you know, everybody talks about God. God is love. You know, God is not, does not get angry. And it goes, this kind of touches on another one of the things that I have here, you know, hate the sin, not the sinner. And, you know, that's one of the things that a lot of people lean on in that community when it comes to God. They do not believe that God is wrathful. And the Bible speaks very differently, actually. What would you say, Pastor Sean? We'll start with you.
About this community, or about
the fact that
falling in hands
about
of anger?
The fact that people believe, and I use them as an example, because that's one of the biggest things that they say all the time. You know, about the saying that God is not a wrathful God. You know, He's a God of love. You know, it doesn't. You know, they can do what they want to do. They can live the way they want to live, because God is not going to be angry with them. God is just going to love them.
But He chastises the ones that He loves too. We got to remember, He does love us. He wants the best for us. He wants us to get right with Him. He wants us to live right. He wants us to walk and talk right. He wants us to be able to go out there and witness to others. But when you continue to keep doing what you want to do, your life don't belong to you anymore. When you say yes, Lord, we have to live for Him. So we have to be able to know that he does get angry, because the Word says He gets angry. So if you read in the Word and you know in the Word, it will show you that what He hates, what He don't want you to do, what you cannot do. So therefore, how do you think that you're not going to get chastised of it? Your parents, He loves you.
I like that. I like that Bible verse quote. Minister AJ, you know, what would you say to those who say, you know, God is not a wrathful God? You know, He's only love.
I don't know about that one. I don't know. That's not true. Because even you take Saul, you know, when Saul couldn't get himself together, you know, trying to take David's life and do all types of, as my father would say, foolishness. you know, God allowed the evil spirit to enter into Saul. And the dangerous thing about God is God will allow you to keep a position, but the minute he moves his presence, it's a wrap. And you'll be walking around thinking you still got something, and you don't have anything. Not only that, if you look at Isaiah, the first chapter, you know, when these people were in such a rut of sin, God said, why even, you know, strike them anymore? You know, they're only going to revolt. But he got to a place that even their sacrifices was not good enough no more. They were rejected. He said, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifice? He even compared them to Sodom and Gomorrah, two cities that were destroyed, that was wiped out. So if you see how God wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah, you can't tell me that God is not a wrathful God. And also he says, I'm a jealous God. What good comes out of a person when they're jealous of you?
Wow.
You know, my daughter, when somebody is jealous of you, you ever seen somebody that's jealous of you treat you correctly? No.
Wow. That's there. Wow. We hit the nail on the head with that one. Pastor Ed, you know, they don't believe that God is a wrathful God. God is love. And that's all we're going to deal with.
Yeah, we know that God is love, but God also has a standard that he maintains, and we've seen all through the scripture evidence of God's wrath. And even, you know, the scripture makes it clear. You can be a good person, you can be a great person, you can be a wonderful person, but if you don't accept Christ and the lifestyle that the standard that he's given us, if in that end, God is not going to have any problem allowing you to face, I call it the reward or the punishment that he's established for those that are not in him. So one of the problems that we face is that, you know, in today's society, we want to shape and mold and alter God's word and his standards to fit our comfort zone. And that's just not how it is. You know, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. God is a sovereign God. And so no matter how you try to spin it, the word is still true. And, you know, the wages of sin is death. And so if you're not covered by the blood, you're not covered in Christ, and you're not living your life in a relationship with Christ as it should be, you know, there is a recompense. There is a penalty. For the sin that you commit, and you can't alter it. Doesn't matter how loud you say it and how many times you say it and how you advertise it. The bottom line, God's word is true, and it's going to stand.
All righty. Minister AJ, they have something here that I thought was really interesting, especially coming behind this particular last statement. But they say, stop using the Bible to beat the hell out of people. What would you say to that one?
Absolutely. All right, I'm going to say it the way I'm getting it. Stop introducing stuff to people that you can't live. So we want to beat people up with stuff that we ourselves sometimes can't deliver or live it out. You know, we as Christians should be examples. We want to beat them up with a Bible, and again, we forget about the grace and mercy, and we forget about where we were when we were at their stage in salvation. You know, how messed up was you, and how much grace did you need? How much mercy did you need? So why beat somebody up with a Bible that you didn't write, you know what I'm saying, and that you barely read? So, you know, you gotta think back to, you know, yourself, reflect back to you. How many times did you fall down and you had to play, you know, that song by Hezekiah Walker? You know, how many times, you know, have I fallen against your grace? And we all sin and fall short. And the Bible says also to tear down, but to root up. So when you tear somebody down, you have to root them back up.
That's the word.
All right. Pastor Ed, it says stop trying to beat the hell out of people with the Bible. What does that say to you?
Well, again, many of us have experienced individuals that use the Bible scripture to manipulate and to control, especially when things are taken out of context. So, again, God's word, his truth is what we've got to stand by. And, yes, there are stages in this sanctification process in our Christian walk. And so it goes back to where a person is in Christ. Once you have the knowledge, or that individual has the knowledge of truth, that's how God is going to deal with them. And so Minister AJ is right. We've got to live an example before them. But like I said, I've seen in many cases where people literally use the scripture, not as God has ordained it, but as a weapon or a tool, just so that they can control people.
Yes, we've talked about that before here. We've talked about that before. Pastor Charlene, you stop beating the hell out of them people with the Bible. They talking about you. Cut it out.
I repent.
No,
right. We should. We should not beat the people with the Bible, because you know you always have to go back to remember where you came from, and a lot of times that people who say they know the word or quote scriptures, you know, some of them forget, you know, that you struggle, you know, and I always tell people that, you know, go back to that time when somebody was trying to tell you and you didn't want to hear it. You know, it's how you present it to them. You know, just having a conversation, you know, and then every now and then, you know, you can talk about Christ without even saying, you know, quoting the scriptures, you know, just living it, showing it, you know, because that might be the only Bible that they have ever seen of how a Christian is supposed to act, how a Christian is supposed to show love. Because if we showing the true word is love, so we showing the true word, then therefore, you know, you want to be there for them, you want to talk to them, you want to embrace them, you're not going to tear them down, you're only going to help build them up. But correction comes no matter where you go. You want to get corrected on the job, you want to get corrected, you know, of different places that you're in, you know, because it comes with it. Your parents correct you, so we correct you, and because we love you. How many of us got beat and said, you made me do it, and I beat you because I love you?
All right. Pastor Ed, I think it was you who said, you know, taking the verse out of context. I may have gotten it mixed up, but I think it was you. But I have, that's on this list. You know, stop using, you know, let the one, let me make sure I read it properly so I don't, it's not all twisted. Okay. He who's without sin cast the first stone. That's constantly taken out of context. Would you agree?
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. When you're preaching or teaching or even sharing the word, you know, you've got to make sure that you're referencing the full picture, the place, the time, the setting of what God is dealing with. Because there are people that have taken single scriptures and just run wild with them, and it's out of order, out of context. And it actually negates the meaning or the impact that scripture was supposed to have. And usually when people are doing that, they're trying to manipulate the scripture to fit what they want to do or what they want to happen. It becomes a control thing rather than a God thing.
Pastor Charlie, mm-hmm. He who is without mm-hmm. sin cast the first stone. Mm-hmm. That's constantly, they say, being taken out of context. How?
Yeah, especially when you're saying it to a person and they know you,
You know, a lot of times we point the finger, you know, we'll take the scripture and we'll point the finger at somebody else like you've never sinned, like you've never done anything, like, you know, and we sin, it could be in our thoughts or something that we've said or whatever all the time. That's why we have to repent all the time. So, yes, we as generals, take it out of context of what the scripture of that, what you're saying to someone out of the way. But we always got to remember that you got to be able to know exactly and then do reference with the scripture as when you're telling them, because a lot of times we say it as a controlling. When I say we, I'm just saying general, as a controlling, you know, and, you know, especially in from that pulpit, you know, because you want the people to listen to you and make you there. So you're taking your manipulate the word of God to manipulate, to say the word of God to manipulate the people.
Okay. Yep, you said it right. You use the word of God to manipulate the people. Yes, you got it right. You got it right. Oh, Minister AJ.
Yes. If you will allow me, I'd like to go a different route. How about when we don't use certain scriptures because we're in certain things and we omit certain things so that we can beat the people up or to continue to manipulate them? So if we go back to the last question, a lot of times we want to beat people up with the word, and we want to send them to hell. And I like what Pastor said, living the life before them as an example. And that's all you got to do. Let's take the word hell. I got it. And break it down. Heaven equals lovely living. Okay? Heaven equals lovely living. If we would live the right life before them, they would want to worship our God. But a lot of times, the reason why they say, you know what, I'd rather go to hell, you know, is because they see how we live. You know, we omit things. We omit the scriptures. We won't teach them. We're walking around deep in pies like we know everything, and we won't help those that are under us. Okay, heaven equals lovely living. Just live the life before them, and you don't got to beat them up with the scriptures. You know what I'm saying? You'll be all right. Just live as an example because, okay, here it goes. When we preach a good sermon, people are emotionalized. But when we preach and live a good sermon, we give them an opportunity to be changed.
Mm-hmm. Well, who's feeding you this stuff? Somebody, here we go. Like, you reading it. Wow. You would think that he knew what I was going to say because you stepped right into my next point. It's just Christian people have to stop living like everybody's going to make it into the kingdom and ain't nobody going to hell. Oh. And all of you have touched on it. But again, you know, I always like to stick a pin in these things so that, you know, people can get it directly. Pastor Charlene, they said Christian people need to stop living like everybody going to make it in and ain't nobody going to hell.
Absolutely. Yeah, because I believe that came from because from the pulpit, a lot of times the pastor, the preacher, I'll do general, the preacher will get up and say that everybody going to heaven when they doing the funeral. And you know that Johnny Boy, he done killed everybody, you know. So, it, you know, a lot of times that, you know, and he had no remorse. He knew what he was doing, and you knew what he was doing. So a lot of times I believe that it comes from that teaching of where that people just think that everybody is going to heaven. But hell is real. Hell is real. Back to the Bible, hell is real, and we got to know that everybody is not going to get in. Even those that think that they got it together, instead of asking God, do I have it? Going to God to see, Lord, you, whatever you see in me, show me so I can ask for forgiveness, so I can stop, so I can, you know, get closer to you because I want to live right. But a lot of people don't. And a lot of people think that they're going to heaven, sitting in the church house and going straight to hell.
Well, Minister AJ, why do you think that when they're preaching eulogies and things like that, that, you know, everybody going to heaven, everybody going to make it into the kingdom, everybody going to live forever, everybody tap dancing right now? Why do you think that is?
I think, okay, sometimes, I think because a lot of times, what we don't realize, even in the church house or the house of God, that it's easier to connect to sin. So a lot of times if you're preaching to sinners, they want that feel-good message. Oh, everybody's going. No, you. And a lot of times, I think, too, I'm going to be honest with you, it's a lack of study. Study. Let God give you a word for that atmosphere. Don't just say what you think that people want to hear. On earth, as it is in heaven. You get what I'm saying to you? You got to understand, is what people are doing, are they going to be, would they be able to do this in heaven? Think about what you say before you say it. The things that they're doing, would they be able to do these things in heaven? You preaching to people who are straight sinners, but you're telling them that they're going to heaven. You, and a lot of times, it's a cover-up, let me be honest, for the preacher. If you're not where you should be, you're going to preach. You can't preach on sin because you did.
Wow. Who got up and ate they wees today? Wow. All right, come on, Pastor Ed. Why do you think, you know, Minister AJ hit in a real hard place? Why do you think, you know, these preachers get up and just preach this tale that, you know, heaven is available to everybody and everybody going, opposed to being honest? And, you know, I'm not saying they should be saying Pookie going to hell because we can't put nobody there. But there's just this false sense of security that they give.
Well, I think, you know, it's like Minister AJ, I think that one of the things he mentioned is a lot of times they're preaching to the crowd, wanting to give them a feel-good, whatever. Well, I'll put it like this. One of the things for me, at a funeral, homegoing, celebration, whatever we want to call it, I preach. I seek God for the word that I'm supposed to deliver. I don't spend a lot of time dealing with the person because, one, that person has transitioned. They're gone. They can't hear a word that I'm saying. It no impact on them. And so I do seek God so that I can preach to the people. And I make it clear. It's not a what we would call a hellfire and brimstone message, but I make it clear that, you know, there is a way. And through Christ, you know, for you to enter into his kingdom. But with and so when we talk about, you know, we're going to see him again, only those who are in Christ, you know, are going to be reunited in the manner that we like to speak of. So, you know, I allow God to lead me to be very honest in the message. But a lot of times, you know, especially if it's somebody that they pay to preach, you know, they're almost coming to entertain and you know, the family or the audience. But I believe as preachers of the gospel, we have a responsibility in love but to speak truth. Because guess what? Pookie and whoever else that showed up at this funeral, that might be the only opportunity that you have for them. You know, and it may be an opportunity because we've had individuals who accepted Christ because of the message that they heard at a funeral. You know, a eulogy. And that's why I tell people, don't put me on for a eulogy. Put me on to preach the message. You know, when you eulogize someone, you're able to speak well of them. Well, let's be honest. In some cases, especially if you don't even know the person, but in a lot of cases, you can't always speak well of the person. I tell people, you live your eulogy. You're created by the life that you live. And I'm not one to get up and lie. I tell people, don't lie for me at a funeral and don't lie on me. And so I'm not going to do that either.
Woo. Oh, my goodness gracious, my goodness gracious. Oh, you all are hitting on some stuff today. Oh, my goodness. Pastor Charlotte, why do you think it is that they do it?
Like they would say, that feel-good message. That feel-good message. My thing is, right, we don't have a heaven or hell to put the person in. Nope, we don't preach to. They already made their choice, the one that's laying in the casket. They already made their choice if they had time to get right with God or didn't get right with God. But absolutely, you preach to those that are here. You let them know that hell is real. You let them know that they still have time as right now to come to God. I always give an altar call when I do the service because you never know who is actually wanting him. Most of the time it is a lot of them first time coming in church. They come in drunk, everything, you know, and that might be the only time that you get for them to get to hear the word of God. So why do we don't have a hell or heaven to put nobody in? So just preach the word. I'm with you, Pastor Ed. I just preach what God gives me to preach to the people because he knows who's there and who needs what, and keep it moving. I don't sugarcoat it either. Mm-mm. Because we can. Because then
I was just getting ready to say that. Yep. I was just going to say we can't.
Right there.
We can't. Yep. I was going to say the same two words. We can't. That's not an option for us. We've been charged with presenting Christ and God as is. You know, we can't, and that's why we have to be very careful when we're speaking to the ones who say there's no wrath for God. Because they're in some la-la land. And, you know, I remember I have a girlfriend who her mother passed, and she said, I'm going to switch gears here a little bit. You know, she said, oh, you know, she's watching over us. And I listened, and I couldn't take it. I couldn't take it. And the Spirit of the Lord said, you say that. And I said, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. Your mother is not listening to anything. She's not watching over you. She has no ability or power. She is sleeping. And I went on to, you know, and that's our charge. Our charge is not to make you feel good. Our charge is not to help you lay and believe that there's no wrath for God, that our family is up in heaven and they watching over us. That's not our job, to make them feel good. When you've been called to preach, you know, wherever, at a funeral, that's not your job. Your job is not to make them feel good. Your job is to present Christ and God as is, who they are and what they're willing to accept and what they're not going to accept and so forth and so on. But, you know, it's. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to say this to you three, and I'm going to see what you feel. You know, we always talk about you don't have a heaven or a hell. You don't have a hell to put people in. Most times we'll say it that way. You know, you don't have a hell to put people in. We can't send people to hell. But very rarely do you hear, well, you know, you don't have a heaven to put people in. You know, you don't have a kingdom to put people in. You know, you don't go to heaven. So it's not my terminology, but, you know, for this purpose I'll use it. But I remember recently reading, and, you know, you read this stuff a million times, and, you know, about how God is calling into play everything and everything, even our very secrets. And that sent a chill through me. And I'll tell you why, because I've had conversation with people who have said, oh, I know, you know, so-and-so lived a good life, and they're going to make it in, and, you know, they're not the ones that God would reject. And I'm saying to myself, how do you know? How do you know? God says, I'm going into your very secrets. There are things people don't tell anybody. that could be the very thing that keeps them out. How do I know? Because the Bible says even the righteous shall scarcely make it in. So we got to be real careful about how, you know, how we think people just going to make it in. And that false sense of belief is going to send us possibly into hell. Come on, Pastor Ed, you got a few more minutes here to be with us. But I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the reality of helping people to understand God is assessing. He's going to assess our entire life. He's not going to look at them last few minutes you spent doing X, Y, and Z. Your whole life is at hand right now. And we cannot put people into eternity living eternal lifestyle. No. Help me here.
No. Well, the bottom line is the scripture makes it very clear. Christ says, I am the way, truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. In other words, God is going to judge us through the lens of our relationship with Christ. And the only one that knows the truth of that is because through the power of the Spirit, you know, for our outward actions could fool a lot of people. But God, you know, people love out there. God knows my heart. That's true. He truly does.
Yep, that's a good thing. You're going to be in trouble for that one.
And our inner thoughts. And so the bottom line is only God knows. I mean, literally, there is no way for us to make that call or that judgment. Because it has to be through the lens of that relationship where we are in Christ with him, because he's the only way. Good things are not going to
Wait, Pastor Ed, wait. Wherever you are, your words are getting cut off and we're missing some good stuff. I don't want us to miss anything.
Can you hear me better now?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. No, I was saying, you know, good deeds are not going to get you into heaven. Being a nice or a good person, that's not good, because, again, these are outward actions and you know, people can put on whatever mask they want you to see based upon how they feel. It is going to be that relationship with Christ, and only God knows the truth of that. And so that's where the determination is made. So, yeah, we really can't. They were such a good person. Maybe on the surface. You don't know. You don't know what people do at home. You don't know what people do behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's where our responsibility is to give them Christ, give them the truth of the word. But it's each individual's responsibility. Mama can't drag you in on her overflow. Daddy can't drag you. It's a personal, individual choice, relationship. It goes back to you talking about teaching our children to pray. You've got to have a relationship with Christ for yourself, and that's going to make the determination of you getting in. Christ is the only way, not the preacher, not mama, not daddy, not the church building, none of that. It's only through that relationship with Christ. He's the only one that can save you.
Absolutely. Pastor Sharlin, you know, we always talk about we can't put people in hell. Well, no, we can't send them in the other direction either. We just don't know. It's too much of an assessment.
Absolutely. And you do have to have the relationship with Christ. God knows what's in your heart, as we all say all the time. He does. He knows when it's sinking. He knows where that darkness is. He knows that you got that hate, even though you be like, praise the Lord, God bless you. You might be there with the doors open from the beginning until they pull the gate down. You know, you might come to every service. You might do everything that the pastor asks you. But within your heart, God knows the truth. And that, yes, can stop you from getting in heaven. Yes, you know, we have to live what he has us to do. The Ten Commandments, are you doing that? Did you check yourself for the things that he hates to make sure you're not doing that? You know, are you doing the fruit of the Spirit? You know, where you're lacking at, being able to go back to these things and knowing where your weak spot is where you have an issue at and be able to turn those over to the Lord. So this way that your heart can be clear, that your mind is stayed on Jesus, you know, because we do. We have to go through Jesus to get to the Father. So you have to be able to live according to what the Bible tells us to do and the way that he tells us to do it, and not to do the outside and thinking that he can't see the inside. Because a lot of times people think that God don't see us, like they hiding from God. And when it's true, when you're not in front of nobody, you know, you think that you got it. No, he knows about those 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock feelings, phone calls, who's creeping. He sees that. We might not see it. Nobody might not see it. Even your neighbor might not see it. But God sees it. So know that you're living for him. And if you say that you're living for him, be sold out to him. And being wanted to be able to do all that he asks you to do and not what the flesh wants you to do or other people want you to do. So this way that you can be able, because it could take that one little thing that will keep you out of heaven. That's why we got to repent all the time, not just once a day, all the time. Repent of that thought. Repent of what went in that heart. Repent what you looked at all the time.
All righty. Minister AJ, again, you know, we can't put nobody into the opposite direction either, no more than we can put them into hell. Why?
Well, there's something called the judgment seat of Christ, and that's going to be the day where you're standing before God, and God's going to judge you. Not only is he going to judge you for what you've done, but he's going to judge that against what he instructed you to do. So where are we in that? It's not us. It's not a panel. It's not American Idol. It's not going to be a panel that God's going to have, you know, judging you. It's going to be between you and God. And a lot of times we're talking about judging, and we're talking about sometimes we don't see people creeping. But we ourselves as Christians and believers know sometimes we don't do the things that God instructed us to do. Pastor Ed mentioned prayer, and Pastor Charlene and mentioned the creep, when we're creeping. How about when we know that we should be praying in secrecy and we don't pray? We ourselves know we're missing the mark. So how in the world they gonna know? You know what I'm saying? If we know ourselves and we still won't do.
Right.
All right.
Mm.
And not only that,
wow,
the ocean comes, doesn't come, it doesn't come from the north, south, east, or west. So to me, you making it to heaven is a promotion. And the latter part of that scripture says God puts one up and he takes one down. That don't sound like we have the power to do that. So just sit down and worry about your secret closet and worry about doing what you're supposed to be doing. And leave that to God.
Boy, talk about the preacher panel today. You three are preaching. Well, Pastor Ed, please close. Give us a closing. You know, it says that, you know, stop believing that you have, let me make sure I read it right, because I really like this one to close on, even though Yana just gave closing on the other stuff. Stop thinking it's okay to be silent about your faith. Give us your closing on that one.
Well, the bottom line, you know, he says if you're ashamed to only before men, I'll be ashamed to own you before my Father. The bottom line is, if we're real about this thing, if we're in true relationship with Christ, you know, and we've accepted the call and whatever it is he has purpose for our life, it's not something that we're going to hide or we're going to be ashamed of. It's our lifestyle. It's not something we wait until Sunday or Saturday or whatever day we're worshiping or in the sanctuary or in a Bible study or in a quote-unquote religious setting. It is a daily lifestyle thing that we live. It becomes a natural part of who we are, you know. So you can't hide your faith. You are who you are in Christ. And as he is developing us and sanctifying us as we go through this process, you know, of getting to where he's taking us to, it should be evident in your speech and your actions and how you deal with people, even your everyday life transactions. There's going to be a difference. You're not going to cheat people and take advantage of people and talk to people in any kind of way because Christ is living in you. His spirit is guiding you. So you can't hide your faith, not when you're sincere and real about it. You ought to have a passion about living for Christ and wanting others to know, because you know him, you want others to know him and the benefit that comes from knowing him.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Ed. So glad to have you with us today. And again, we're going
to
keep all of your situation in prayer. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Pastor Charlene, how are we closing? You know, it's not okay to be silent about your faith. It's up to you to tell the world.
Okay, my question is, if you silent and you don't want to tell nobody, do you really have Christ in your life? Are you just lip talking? Are you just being able to say that when you come around certain people, it becomes like you here in the church with us and you one way, and then when you get outside, you a whole nother way. But if you really love Jesus, you want to be able to tell about it, because we don't have no problems of saying when you got to, are you getting married, or you found this new person in your life, or, you know, you want to tell everybody. So therefore, why you don't tell about the man that loves you, that takes care of you, that be able to know that how you feeling, that a move mountains, you know, for you. So why we can't talk about Jesus? Oh, his name is Jesus. He's the one that gave you the breath. He's the one that has been there for you when you have been down and out and you ain't have no money. Why you can't talk about him? So maybe you really don't have him. Because one thing about Jesus, he don't want you to sneak, you know, and keep him a silent. No, he wants you to be able to go out there and tell everybody about him. So this way you're able to win souls. So why you creeping and want to creep into the church house, but you don't want nobody to know on your job? You don't want nobody to know in your house? That's a question that you need to ask. So therefore, why do you do it? So I feel like this, that you must really don't know him for yourself. You really don't love him, or are you trying to get there?
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Charlene, for your contribution today into our church folks segment. Amen.
Well, thank you so much. And I just wanted to say that the name of that movie was Body Snatcher.
Oh, Body Snatcher. Okay, okay. Thank you. Thank you. I remember that movie. I remember that. Ooh. Oh, all right.
Yeah. Have a good
blessed
day.
One. Thank you. You too. Minister AJ, how are you closing out today? You know, it's not okay to be silent about your faith.
Absolutely. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. And the work part of that is you not being silent. And faith without works is dead. A dead man can't work. So chances are, if you're not maneuvering, talking about faith, your faith itself is dead. You know, because when we have something and we are confident in something, we're going, not only are we going to speak about it, we're going to speak loud about it. And then my question becomes, and that's why I think that people that don't talk about faith, it's dead. Because we know also without faith it is impossible to please God. So if you're not pleasing God, then who are you pleasing? Not only that, how do we achieve or carry out our chief assignment, which is to win souls without faith? The Bible says when the word is nigh thee, meaning near thee, you know, near you, that is the word of faith that we preach. And that's how people come to Christ, by the word of faith that we preach. So if you're not preaching the word, you're not doing your assignment, and chances are you need to check, you know, are you still living? Because your faith is probably dead. You are not speaking faith. Because you're not saving nobody. So I don't know. There ain't no fruit on the tree. So I don't know where you're going. But I ain't got to have to help with you in. But you do self-assessment. In Jesus' name, amen.
That was one time where, in Jesus' name, amen, was definitely appropriate. Amen. 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 Thank you so much, Minister AJ, for your contribution into our church folks segment. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
Am I a part of the crew again?
Yes, you got your microphone back today. You got your microphone
right.
back today. All right. Thank you so much. Have a blessed one.
You're welcome. You do the same.
Thank you. Man, if you didn't go to church, you definitely got it. Definitely got it today because they were really giving it up big time. Let us hold hands and hold hearts as we go before the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, God, and we say thank you. As you have been the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for just presenting yourself in a way that only you know how and only you can. Thank you for waking us up this morning. What a gift. What a gift to either bring a word or to receive a word. And we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for thinking of us, having us on your mind, keeping us through the night in peace. And if we have not had a peaceful night, we thank you anyway, because your stir had a purpose. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that we were blessed enough to have Pastor Ed back, that you gave him some level of reprieve, some level of healing to Elijah's body and condition so that he can come and bless your name and bless your people. And Lord, we just ask that you continue the healing process, that he would be healed far beyond even their own expectation, that you would touch every doctor, every machinery. Dear Heavenly Father, we're going to lift little Eddie before you, God, as he has to watch his brother endure so much. And we ask you, God, to just plant just a special seed in his heart, his mind, and even in his mouth to be encouraging and supportive to the other person who has everything he has. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for even having them in a spiritual home, in a Christian home. And Lord, we're thanking you for answering our prayer up to now. We ask you, dear Heavenly Father, to just cover all of the Due Time crew and their families, dear Heavenly Father, as we know and we have been prayerful about the conditions of quite a few situations, whether it's been health issues or whether it's been graduations or birthdays or whatever it is, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you because only because of you are we getting past any of this. Just another day is a gift. So, Lord, we say thank you. Thank you for loving us in your special way and being with us through the fire, God. Being with us in the good times and being with us in the bad times, God. God, we lift up every listener, everybody who's listening right now, everybody who will listen 5 minutes afterwards or 15 days, 15 months afterwards. We ask you to bless their hearing, that they would not just be hearers, but that they would be doers of your word. And Lord, Minister AJ said it best. Faith without works is dead. So if we're not sharing our faith, then we're ultimately dead because we're providing nothing to your people. Lord, we pray that everybody will step into the courageous mode and speak of your goodness, speak of how great and wonderful you are, tell of everything that you have done, good and bad, how you've walked us through the bad. And how we have come to know you even during the bad times, that those times have drawn us closer to you, God. They need to hear that as well. So we say thank you because you continuously introduce us to another side of who you are, to another component of who you are. Thank you, Father. Thank you for giving your Due Time members
a word to say. And we pray that they live it out so that level of their walk and their faith could be before people that even if they didn't open up their mouths, everybody would know that they're connected to you. We ask you to bless the rest of this day as we continue to walk and talk who you are and not draw light to ourselves, but to you instead. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. What a morning. What a morning. You know, as they talk, I just sit back and I absorb what's being said. And one of the things that God has had me speak on, and I was kind of happy that it was on this list today, is the show of faith, our outward display of who we are. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. A lot of times we do such a poor job. See, we don't have a problem going on the job and showing and telling people who we are. I'm the manager. You know, I'm the this, I'm the that. I'm the HNIC, as they used to call it. And by the same token, nobody knows that they are supposed to be a Christian person. No, we're not supposed to be walking around telling people, you know, I used to have people say, you know, Steph, I'm saved. You would never have to tell me that if you were automatically living. But when you speak doubt, and I know people like that, they speak so much doubt. Do you realize your faith is in the toilet? Because that's all people hear. Turn that around and speak life. Stop talking so dim. Stop speaking so negatively. It's like almost everything you say has a negative connotation to it. And I'm really not interested personally if that's what you meant. Because here's the problem. I could know what you mean, but who else can say that? Is the bigger message coming across that all people hear from you is negativity, especially those who don't know Christ? That's our job. It's not okay if we claim to have Jesus as our personal Savior, if we claim that the Lord is the head of our life, we cannot sit down and pretend like this stuff is so passe in our life. And I think it was Minister AJ who said it. No, I think it was Pastor Ed who said it. You know, God says, hey, go ahead and put me out there. Because guess what? I'm going to do the same. Paraphrasing. Think about it. You're afraid to acknowledge God, even in your everyday living. Then know that God is going to be ashamed to acknowledge you. Think about how many blessings you're blowing. And because we have become such a people that we accept whatever lifestyle is out here, we're okay with it. You know, if we should, you know, if we have, you know, a piece of bread every day, we okay with that. Not realizing that God says, I've prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. So I'm going to stick to I prepared a table. If God's prepared that table, you know what that table must look like. But you okay with the piece of bread every day. Step up and understand that God has the best for us. That's what he has for us. He's prepared everything for us. And if God has taken the time to prepare, then it must be something great. Because he didn't just just throw stuff up in the air. No, everything is done in decency and order. So we know that if God's prepared it, oh, you better believe it's top-notch. So, see, I'm going to walk around and I'm going to talk about God. See, I have no problem talking about God. And, see, here's the thing that we have to understand, and one of them touched on it. It's in everything we do. It's not just in, you know, when you're going to church. People need to see Jesus in you. They should be able to see Jesus in you. If their eyes are closed and they're deaf, they should be able to see Jesus in you. That sounds kind of crazy, right? Yeah, I'm sure it does. But that's how detailed it is. That's everything you do should have drippings of God where people can see. Wow, that's special. If you crochet, it should look better than anybody else's because there was a certain level of love that was put into that. You know, if you're at a job, they should always be able to tell the difference between you as a receptionist and the next person as a receptionist. Nobody does that frontline job like you do because we've sprinkled Jesus on it. And you know my thing. I always say just sprinkle a little Jesus on that thing. That's the way we have to do our faith walk. It can't be hidden under a bushel. It has to stand out. And how well are we doing that? How well are we really getting the job done? Are we putting everything else before God? Oh, this takes priority. This is so important. I got to get this done. I got to get this done. And do you forget that the verse that says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Put him first and watch God just put, you'll be like trying to figure out, how in the world did I get all of that done? How in the world did all of this happen? Man, I've gotten so much accomplished today. There are days I wake up, I'm so tired. Oh my goodness gracious, I'm delirious. I'm so tired. And I don't talk to people the way I would love to, or the way people would want me to. I just can't. Physically, I just can't. Because my words are like my steps. I always laugh and tell people, I only got 1,000 steps a day. I got to be real careful how I use that 1,000 steps. If I'm walking east, and I should be walking west, man, that them blue part of my steps. So that's the way my words are. I don't have idle chit-chat and idle conversation because it needs to be something. And I'm not saying that I don't have fun and all this. Don't misunderstand me. But what I'm saying is people spend a lot of time wasting. No, I ain't got no time to waste. Everything counts. So even my idle chit-chat has some merit. In other words, I don't spend it gossiping. I don't spend it talking about all kind of arbitrary dumb things. You know, it has some relevance. Everybody can't say that. And that comes from growth. I didn't wake up here. That's growth. But in other words, what I'm trying to say to you is everything I do matters in a day. Because I have, at the end of the day, I have to account to God. What did I do with your day? I don't know why you woke me up today. Did I get accomplished? And one of our panelists said it. Are we doing what God wants us to do? Have we accomplished what he's chosen for us to do that day? I think it was Minister AJ. We don't have a clue. So make sure you turn that day over to God and you get that job done. And that way your faith should always be in its proper order. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. Don't let that little girl outpray you. This is Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for helping me hold it down today and doing such a fantabulous job. And I want to thank you for hanging out with me. Couldn't do it without you. Thank you for participating and writing in. Until tomorrow, God spares. Remember,
choose Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Oh, I love you.